So don't do that, whatever
you're doing. Hello, everybody. We're back with Spiritual Graffiti. Today we have a special guest, Anne-Marie. I guess I could let her kind of explain what she does, but I recently had a session with her and I thought it'd be awesome to have her on. Ruby's here as well.
Hello.
What's up, Ruby? How are you doing?
Good, good. Yeah, all good. Yeah, I guess, because I was like looking at your like Instagram, Anne-Marie, and it seems like you do a lot of different things. So maybe if you want to just like take us through the work that you do. And
sure.
Yeah.
I really do a wide variety of things. So I'm a psychic medium. So I can see past, present, future. I speak to loved ones that have transitioned into spirit. Also little tiny souls that haven't made it yet to this earthly plane yet.
Wow.
Astrology is my foundation. I look at the birth chart and I see the evolution of the soul, where the soul's been, where the soul's going, gifts, lessons, abilities, things like that. Mm-hmm. And then I also am a natural energy worker. I am one of the few people that hold the codes on this earth for the Kundalini imprint. I've never had official training. I haven't had someone, you know, do this work on me to give me the gift. This is just who I am. And the basis of the work that I do is a lot of re-empowering people with their Kundalini energy, because the powers that be, whatever we call them, that distort them and use them against us, want us disempowered. And because sexual energy is so powerful, it's healing, it's creative, it's all of the things, everyone in humanity needs some sort of healing on this level.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I would definitely agree with that. I mean, it's, I think sexual energy is ultimately God energy, like divine energy, but we get so blocked, I guess, in that area because of our culture and just the fact that like so many people have experienced like some kind of sexual trauma or even just like shame and weird like aversions, I guess, to expressing their sexuality like openly, which I feel like it blocks you creatively too. And I think that's really cool. I had a question. Oh, just to kind of give people a foundation of like, you know, what Kundalini is and what do you sort of mean about like the codes? Like you just, if you sure. want to just explain what you mean by like Kundalini energy.
Sure. So our Kundalini energy is also referred to as divine life force. It is literally our life force energy. It's our sexual energy. People who are raised around religion or familiar with religion, the story of the Garden of Eden and the snake, that is the Kundalini energy that they are referring to.
which is
why they talk about temptation and desire and all of that. So it's our life force energy that is housed in the root chakra. And when somebody has a full Kundalini awakening or a Kundalini rising, the energy goes from the root to the sacral, to the solar, to the heart, to the throat, to the third eye, up to the crown, receives more energy, and then brings it right back down into all of the chakras.
Nice. That was actually like a great like layman's explanation, I think. Because it's like, I don't know, the first time I heard that word, I was like Googling it, and I'm like, you know, I don't know, Google is for like esoteric stuff, you know, you get all kinds of like weird, unclear, vague like responses. And yeah, that was like a perfect explanation.
Thank you. So, yeah, it's there's definitely a lot of distortions out there about it and a lot of misunderstanding of what the energy is and how to navigate it or how to use it.
Yeah. How did you figure that out? Like, how did you figure out that this was something that you just like naturally understood? Like, how did you get on the path?
Through astrology, right? I said I understand the evolution of the soul, see where the soul's been and where the soul's going. And when I tell people, like, everything that you've ever experienced in your life, positive and negative, are both leading to your ultimate purpose in this world. When people are trying to figure out what they're doing, I'm like, tell me about your life. What have you experienced? So somebody who's experienced a lot of loss and grief, they're really probably meant to do grief work with people or like death doulas or stuff like that.
Definitely.
I've experienced sexual trauma as early as 2 years old, all the way until 12. And then when I joined the military, again, from 17 to 30, I had more sexual trauma as an adult. And it was because I kept running from my trauma. I was in denial of it. I didn't know it was there. I didn't know what to do with it. And as I went through a major awakening in 2020, I was actually raped by a tattoo artist I was working with. And I was like, why does this keep happening to me? Like, why? Why can't I not avoid this? What am I doing wrong? And then it started to come through and was like, you're supposed to be working with this energy. You have this insane amount of energy flowing through you. And when it's distorted, it attracts that negative energy. It attracts those shadows of people.
Yeah, I think that's something we like touch on a lot on this podcast, the way that the shadow, the subconscious motivators, you know, that we have going on that we're in denial of or not wanting to face. Those are the things that like attract these negative experiences. And people really hate to hear that. Like when you're like, well, why do you think you might've attracted that experience? Or, you know, cause it's like, it sounds like you're victim blaming, I think, to people.
There's actually spiritual law that says what we resist persists, right? So if people deny the fact that they have sexual energy or that they're sexual beings or whatever it is, then they're going to continuously be put into these positions where they're challenged or taken advantage of or whatever through their sexual energy because of that denial. So when I opened myself up and was like, okay, I'm doing this on some level, this is happening for some reason, what is it? So then I started looking at my birth chart, and I actually have a lot of Scorpio energy, but I have a Venus in Scorpio in the 10th house. Scorpio is often related to sex, the sexual organ, sex work. 10th house is the house of vocation, dharma, public recognition. So I knew I was supposed to be doing this work on some grand level. and even before I started doing the spiritual stuff, like at 21, I was a sex toy representative, you know, like passion parties or pure romance and stuff like that. I had taken classes on like sex coaching and intimacy coaching. So I was already kind of in that realm. But what I didn't realize was like the energetic piece of it. And so I had a couple of readings throughout the years and people kept telling me, they're like, wow, this is going to be so big. Like I see like roomfuls of people like crying and like moving this energy and just like all of this stuff, but I didn't know what it looked like. And so I kept trying to like figure it out, play with energy work with people. And then I came across a practitioner. Her name is Sasha Cobra. And I watched some of her videos and I watched people like full on shaking, orgasming, just like having this total experience. And I was like, I can do that. I know that I can do that. I don't know how I can do it, but I know that I can do it. And then it just kind of started me on this path.
Wow, that's crazy. So you just, you really happened upon this because like you knew that you had to do something. And then when you actually got to see someone else do it, it finally like clicked for you.
Yeah, because I think
that was the thing.
Yeah, I had no idea what that was going to look like. And then to see that it was possible, I was like, oh my gosh. And then I would have readings and I would talk about it and people are like, yes, but the way that you're imprinted with these codes, these DNA codes, I have lives where I worked with Mary Magdalene. I was a temple priestess. I participated in Heros Gamos and conscious creation. I've even been told that if I really wanted to get pregnant, I wouldn't even have to use sperm. I would be able to manipulate and work with the energy and literally have a immaculate conception. Yeah.
I was like, wait, is she about to say Immaculate Conception for real?
Yes, sir.
Okay, that's interesting. I got to ponder on that for a second.
So it's funny because when I was doing Pete's session, one of the visions that I had was that I was with these priestesses, like hundreds of them. And I had this realization. I was like, this is the work that rose Jesus for his resurrection. Mary Magdalene weeping at his feet and hundreds of priestesses dancing and moving the Shakti energy and praying and weeping and grieving. They were able collectively to create such an enormous amount of energy that they resurrected Jesus.
Hell yeah. I'm sorry. Like, that's never occurred to me. Like, I wouldn't have thought of it like that, but that is such an interesting, like, that makes more sense than just, I mean, cause I don't know. I wasn't like raised religious at all, but you know, the story you hear is like, oh, just like 3 days later, he like rose from the dead and what a miracle and you know, whatever. And you don't really get the like context of, I don't know. It doesn't totally check out if you just hear the story of the resurrection, I think. And that kind of, I don't know. I really like that perspective on it.
Yeah. You're right.
That's really beautiful.
It's like some details are missing as far as what happened. And they did that on purpose. Because again, the sexual energy, the life force energy is so powerful that if people were truly tapped into it, they wouldn't be able to be controlled or distorted or manipulated anymore.
For sure.
Yeah. I mean, I think I read a book about that, like that Mary, the name Mary was actually the name of the order. I think it's called the Order of the Blue Rose. I'm not sure though. I read it a long time ago, but I think like, you know, I had kind of a Kundalini awakening experience, I guess, when I first started waking up to my spirituality. And it was very intense. Ganesh came to me and I felt like these snakes kind of running through my body. And I didn't even know at the time what Kundalini was. And I actually did use Google because of what Ruby said. I was like, I just Googled like snakes running through my body. And like, it was like all of a sudden Kundalini popped up. And then I kind of got into Kundalini yoga and stuff like that. But my point being is like, I feel like what I wanted to touch in on is like the taboo of things, because I feel like for my own personal journey, like I always was like addicted to intense experiences. And for a while, I think I judged myself for that because I was always like reaching for like the next big experience. Like, oh, I have snakes running through my body, or I'm doing a clearing of like an interdimensional entity. Like, what the fuck is going on? And I like kind of temporarily like lose my mind. And it's like, I like this. But then like this aspect of myself dived into like codependency and like addiction. I was always surrounded by people who had addictions and stuff like that. So then I was thinking like, am I reflecting this addiction? But I never really, until recently, I never really thought to like accept that aspect of myself, you know? And I think a lot of people are kind of so stuck in the judgment of themselves that they don't really think like, oh, this is the aspect of me that's most important. You know, like this is my purpose. It's a hard thing to like find that.
Mm-hmm. I definitely am like kind of constantly dealing with that like self-judgment too. And I don't know, I feel like I've embraced some things and I have done some shadow work and I have had some like, I don't know, ego death experiences or awakenings on some level. But I think there's like still a lot more to do for me because I think I don't know, I just relate. I find myself like drawn to certain things, but also feeling like, I don't know, just kind of talking myself out of it or feeling like, you know, yeah, just like just judging myself that I'm not worthy or capable or whatever. And I think that that's something that a lot of people experience and go through. I mean, Amari, did you feel that kind of like shame or like self-judgment when you started getting into this?
I did, actually, which is part of the reason why it's taken me so long to really tap into the energetic part of the work that I do. So one of the things that I love about doing the astrology birth chart work is we can literally see how you're blueprinted, right? So like, mm-hmm. It all depends on whether it comes out in a low expression or a high expression, how it manifests. But to know that I was blueprinted for this work, like, it's not that, you know, I thought maybe I was drawn to like sex related work or topics or whatever because of my sexual trauma. And, you know, it made me hypersexual. And so
that's the kind of way it gets pathologized in like psychology and things like that. Like, I think I don't necessarily agree with it, but I do think that we have a tendency to be like, oh, like she became a stripper because, like, you know, she probably, I don't know, experienced some like bad stuff in her youth and she has an unhealthy relationship to like sex or something. You know what I mean? Like, it gets right. Sort of pathologized and twisted and distorted, like you talked about. Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt.
No, you're okay. That was a valid point because it does. And so again, it comes down to that blueprint, right? So in my lower expression, yeah, absolutely. I would sleep around. I would have casual sex. I would misuse my sexual energy. I would use it to, you know, quote unquote, lure men and get whatever I wanted. Those kinds of things, right? Mm-hmm. Those are all low expressions. But because I'm blueprinted in this way, to turn it into a healthy expression and realize it's all about how I use it, right? So now I'm very intentional with my sexual energy. I'm making sure it's not leaking, that I'm not overpowering people with it, that I'm using it for creation, not destruction.
Yeah. I mean, it almost sounds simple when you say it like that, like, oh, you just channel it in a healthier way. But I think it's actually like really hard to do that work and get to a point where you are really aware enough to,
to change that. It's been a journey for me. I mean, through my own healing, I started looking into like kink and BDSM, and then I became a dominatrix and just like those kinds of things. And that in itself is healing, right? By mm-hmm. taking positive control of your energy and being aware of why you're doing something. There is a dominatrix out there. Her name is Kimmy Inch. She has a program called Conscious Kink, where in Austin, Texas, she will set up play parties where everything is conscious and intentional. If you're going to do a scene, well, what's the intention behind it? What are you trying to get out of it? How are you helping yourself? What are you, you know, all of those things. It's not, oh, let's just go get tied up and flogged for just whatever.
No, I have intention. This fantasy in my mind that I kind of, you know, that I saw in porn and I just want to recreate it. That's fine. I'm not going to judge anybody for that, but it isn't particularly intentional or, you're not really like, I don't think there's like a disconnect between like why you are drawn to that or why you want to experience that. And it's like, it could just be like programming, honestly. Like if you're just consuming like, I don't know, if you're consuming a lot of porn or something like that, I'm sure it does like kind of rewire your brain to.
It does. And actually, you know, porn is one of those things by the negative powers that be that is used to distort the sexual energy as well as drain males of their sexual energy. Because every time a man ejaculates, if it's not for creation of life, then they are wasting their life force energy, really. And so it's healthier for men to practice semen retention and ejaculation, which is a process of instead of expelling that energy from the body, you are drawing it in and circulating it through your chakras and through your entire being, which is healthy. Or not, I mean, healthy, but like healing also. Like the way that we can direct Reiki and stuff guys, women, we can direct that energy and be like, you know, I've been having a lot of like back pain lately. Like, so instead of ejaculating, I'm going to draw it in and I'm going to send it to that localized area and I'm going to allow it to heal me.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I have a question with that. Like how, well, two part question. You know, I think like, how do you, for me, I don't know if it's just like you said, my blueprint, you know, I'm a Scorpio moon. I love like intensity and, I have like more of a intense chart, I guess you could say, but, like, how do you deal with kind of controlling intensity? You know, like, I feel like even with your clients, right? Like I'm very like empathic. Like right now, even just like talking to you, I could actually feel like the Kundalini energy like stirring, you know? So it's like, how do you deal with that intensity through sessions? You know, like I feel like dealing with people passing and like dealing with hospice is less like, I feel like the sexual Kundalini energy is more like consuming, you know, like death. It's like, yeah, it's powerful. And you like, it's, you feel like the whoosh of the energy and yeah, it could take your breath away. And then you have like this oneness awareness. But I feel like the sexual energy is so strong because it's like physical. And to me, it feels like so consuming sometimes. It's like, how do you, and I have practices where I kind of move it through my body, but just like sometimes you're, I don't know if it's like the relaxation of a release, but it's like you just want to like do your thing, you know? And it's like, sometimes, I don't know, it just feels consuming sometimes to me.
Absolutely. I mean, it is really, really powerful stuff. The thing that we're not taught to do is to hold that energy in our body and just let it circulate, right? So the more that that energy builds and you move it through the body without actually releasing it, it just gains more and more intensity. But that is also supposed to bring more energy, more creativity, more physical stamina, more healing benefits, right? So it's about finding the sweet spot and being comfortable in that intensity. I take those things for granted because it's who I am, and that level of energy is coursing through me 24/7. So yeah. When people are saying like how powerful they feel it or something like that, I don't feel it that same way because it's the energy that I live in, right? And so I can take that for granted. The other thing with that is, you know, the distortions that we have, right? We have been taught that we have to have some sort of release or that we have to have an outlet for it instead of just being able to live in it. Because again, it's our life force energy. So when you can hold that vibration, that intensity in your being, and you're like, oh my God, I just feel so alive. You know, the next thing isn't, oh my God, let me go release it. It's like, oh, okay, wait, let me work with this. Let me move this in my body. Let me direct it into something creative. Let me go write or paint or dance.
Yeah. Well, I think the other thing that kind of comes up for me is like, especially being on like social media and stuff like that, I do that work a lot of times. And I feel like it also like pulls people to you because like subconsciously maybe they feel that or are aware of it, but they don't know why they're pulled to you.
Yes.
Like how do you deal with that? Because like I think me and Ruby were talking about it the other day about like people being like, oh, I'm so pulled to you, or like, you know, they automatically think like there's some sort of, there might be another connection, but I'm saying like, they think there's like this deeper thing, but I think it's just them being pulled in by your energy.
Absolutely. And I've encountered that a lot. And in the lower expression and not understanding the energy, that's how it led me into some of my traumatic situations, right? Because people can feel that energy coming off of me and they're like, whoa, and then they're drawn to it, and then they want to manipulate it and use it and take it and, and make it theirs. I've also had experiences, because I am an empath, where I have slept with somebody that afterwards I had realized that I didn't really want to sleep with them, but I was feeling them feel my power and drawn to me. And so they're in front of me and I'm like, oh my God, like there's just something about you. I'm so attracted to you. And then when they're not in my energy, I'm like, oh, they were thinking that of me and I was just feeling the mirror of it. Oh, whoops.
Oh God, I relate to that so hard. Jesus, like, I feel like this is going to be emotional for me. I had a feeling this might happen. But I'm like, I was just like, oh, oof. Like, I mean, I think a lot of people do relate to that. But I, yeah, I definitely have experienced that exact thing where I feel like I'm drawn to someone. I feel like I'm attracted to them. But if anything, I think it's just like they're like trying to, I don't know, almost like feed off of my energy and like, yeah, like take it for their own. And I it's taken a long time to sort of figure that out, but, and I still don't really know what to do about it, but it's kind of painful, like to, because it's in your mind, you think like, you think that there's some deeper connection, like you think that, I don't know, like you're soulmates or there's something, you know, kismet about this relationship or this connection with this person. But really, it's just like, yeah, they're you're seeing a reflection of yourself and you're seeing what they're drawn to about you. I don't know. It's just it's kind of confusing. And I don't know. How do you sort of transmute that?
Well, so what I tell people, because of course we're not taught about, you know, energy transfers and, you know, how to separate what I'm feeling from you for what I'm feeling myself. So what I tell people is, first, you have to spend a lot of time with yourself, recognizing your energy, recognizing where maybe you projected your power onto somebody else. You know, you put them on a pedestal. They thought that you thought that they were all that. And then the reality hits and you're like, oh, wait a minute. They weren't that. So that's a situation where you could be projecting your power onto somebody and feeling that. Mm-hmm. The other aspect of that is when you learn to sit in your energy and you learn the fluctuations and different things like that, it becomes a little bit easier to separate other people's energy. And if you find yourself in a situation where you're like, I'm not really sure if I'm actually attracted to this person or are they attracted to me, taking physical space away from them to clear that energy, to be like, okay, wait, let me check in with myself now. How am I thinking? How am I feeling? What am I seeing? And then if it's not the same when they're physically in front of you, then it's just coming from your own power.
Yeah. Yeah. I think I like lost the question that I had about, anyway, just give me a second. I'm gonna try to think back. Sorry, it takes me all the time.
I have a question. Like where, and another thing me and Ruby were talking about is like, where do you fit love into all this? Like, I mean, or like, what is love to you?
I mean, love is God, right? Love is the ultimate vibration. It's the interconnectedness and the oneness of it all. And so I mean, they're two very distinct things, right? Like you can have this energy and this power in you and work with it and use it and it not, well, I don't want to say it's not related because that's not true. Because like when I'm doing the work over you, I'm channeling the divine. I'm connected into the infinite love source and I'm allowing that energy to flow through me. Any of the energy that I pulled in while I was working on you, I pull it from the infinite love source. I pull it from the divine. So I don't know that it's necessarily separate, but I mean, kind of.
Yeah. I mean, like, I just think, like, you know, I remember I I remember taking, I took a course in college, and it was like, I was a psychology major, and it was like the psychology of love. And then there was this professor, I don't remember all the studies, but basically he came up with like 50 questions that he thought if people asked each other, they would have, their brain would fire very similar to being in love, because these questions were like very vulnerable questions. And then as these people asked these questions, they became more and more connected to each other because it caused them to be vulnerable with each other.
So it, what it does is it elicits intimacy. And that's where that sense of connectedness comes from, is by being intimate. And so intimacy means into me, I see. I'm allowing you to see my true being at my core self. And I'm sharing that with you, which brings that sense of connectedness.
Yeah.
People who have distortions around this will often rush intimacy. You'll meet someone and they're like, oh my God, you're my new best friend. Or, oh my God, we had such an amazing time. I'm so in love with you. It's not actually love. It's intimacy.
Yeah. Well, my thing is like, you know, people talk about soulmates and all that stuff, regardless of what you believe. I think like for me personally, like love is like more about like commitment and like you're allowed to be vulnerable with each other. And I think it's also like very for me, it's very like sentimental. Like we're connected. We've been connected. I trust you. You trust me. Like, I don't even know where I'm going with this, but, it's just, I don't know. Like, I feel like sex and like the mainstream has just like corrupted, like what real connection is.
Most definitely. And there's different types of love, right? So like I can have love for you like a brother, and that doesn't mean that I want to be physically intimate with you and have a sexual encounter. But I do love you unconditionally in that sense of like, you know, holding that space for you, seeing who you are, you know, accepting you who you are, and all of that, you know? So we're not taught. Well, go ahead.
No, I was going to say, well, it was like, it's more about like, I think we were talking about like exploring like polyamorous relationships and if like you can, you know, love two people or be in, you know, like
in love with two people at the same time. Like what we refer to as like in love with someone.
Totally. Well, that's because love is a frequency and it's an infinite. We're infinite beings and it's an infinite feeling. And when you're connected with God, source, creator, and, you know, the divine energy, like, yeah, there is a lot of love through there. Also,
all right, if you look at Jesus, right, uh-huh. If we're trying to live like Jesus, right, that's loving everybody unconditionally, right?
Uh-huh.
So if I love you unconditionally, I love Ruby unconditionally, like it's all the same level at, like it's all the same frequency.
Yes.
But like then what is love? What is love like if you're in a relationship?
Like romantic love?
Well, like what's the difference if like real unconditional love is like everybody I meet, I accept them for who they are unconditionally and I love them.
So for me, the difference is, you know, you can love somebody unconditionally, but you can also never interact with them and have them in your life. Like they may not be healthy or a positive attribute to your life, but that doesn't take away from the love that you have for them. When you have a romantic love for someone, I mean, you are essentially taking this person as your own and you're saying, I love you so much. It's as if I love myself. I will care for you and treat you with so much respect. It's as if I'm treating myself with that same respect.
Yeah.
It's like wanting someone as more of like a partner and a companion, I guess maybe is sort of one of the different things because, yeah, I mean, I don't know. I think that's such an interesting question because there isn't a simple answer there. Like, there is a difference. You know it when you see it, you know? Like, you know if you feel like, yeah, if you want to be in a relationship long-term with someone or if you just, like, you know, love them as you would love your brother or your best friend or whatever. Like, you know the difference when you feel it, but it's so hard to kind of define. Yeah. I don't know. Well, I don't know.
I think, like, I mean, for me, like, the biggest thing is the energetic aspect of it. It's like when I know when I hug my wife, like, there's a, like, an energetic acceptance of each other. Like, I feel it in my heart. Like, that's why I love hugging her so much. But, yeah, it just feels like there's this, like, level of, like, unconditionalness, you know? And, I mean, it's not perfect, obviously, but, like, it's, like, there is, like, this certain, like, I feel like I could really accept anything from her, regardless of what it is. But I wanted to talk about something with you too, is like parenting, you know, dealing with, like, you're a parent and I'm a parent, and just like dealing with, you know, how to raise your kids. Cause I feel like a lot of, like, the shame and guilt obviously comes from, like, your parents' programming, you know? And I was like, I was thinking about, like, you know, just like my kids are growing up and, like, dealing with them going through puberty. And, like, I remember me going through puberty and, like, my parents trying to talk to me about sex and stuff like that. I remember my dad trying to talk to me one time because he thought I got, like, some girlfriend I was dating in high school pregnant. And it was just, like, so uncomfortable, you know? And it's like nobody, like, they teach, like, sex ed in school and stuff, and it's like, oh, yeah, this is a penis, this is a vagina, wear a condom, you know, don't get weird mushrooms growing off your wiener, that type of stuff. And it's like, nobody really talks to you about the energetics of it, you know, or, like, even the emotional aspect of it. Like, who, you know, really talks to you about vulnerability?
You know? Yeah. Yeah, I think that's true. I think it took me a long time to, like, figure out that sex was a spiritual thing. Like, I mean, I think I was, you know, pretty comfortable in my sexuality, but I also kind of misdirected it or misused it. I guess, I don't know, kind of seeking validation, confusing it for love. Which it should be, right? Like, it should be an act of love, I think, for the most part. But I just think when you're young and you're sort of, like, our culture around it is just, you know, like, you know, just to kind of get off. And, like, and there's something, yeah, like, validating about, you know, being able to get laid.
Yeah. Well, I mean, like, a high school man, a high school boy growing up, it's like, that's his hero's journey, is like when you get laid, you know, or like.
Right. I think when you do that enough, you find it kind of empty and you start to realize, like, how distorted your thoughts and feelings about it are. Like, you're really, like, trying to fulfill something else a lot of the time when you're just like, when the ultimate goal is to, like, get laid, that's like, I feel like that's just sort of like a filler for something else you're looking for. And it just, I feel like it,
well, it's like validation. It is a spiritual thing.
When you have a sexual experience with someone that you have, like, a spiritual kind of connection to and, like, love for, even if you're not, like, in a relationship with them, but you're just, like, you can, you have love for them. You can connect intimately and be vulnerable together. Like, that's a totally different, like, experience than just, you know, like getting, you know, going out to a bar, getting drunk and going home with some dude, you know, like that's fine. I don't know. Like, again, not judging anybody, but I think, yeah, just when I started to realize that it was a spiritual thing, I started being much more careful with like how, like who I would sleep with and how I would, I don't know. Yeah, like use my sexuality. I don't know. I think that's something that we should definitely talk about, but not in the religious way, because religion teaches you that it's like, you know, between a married couple and like, I don't know, a man and a woman, like, you know, there's just like all these weird rules and, you know, in, especially in Christianity, like saving yourself for marriage and that kind of thing. Like, I don't, that's not the point to me. Like, that's a distortion as well.
Yeah.
You know, that's point entirely of like why it's, remember, you know, like how it's spiritual and how it should be sacred.
I had a male art teacher in high school, and I remember him one time like telling us, like just randomly telling us that you'll go blind if you jerk off too much. And now in retrospect, that's kind of fucked up.
It is. Oh, so it is really fucked up. But so like that goes back to, again, the distortions of like the negative powers that be, right? So, you know, you create shame and confusion and disconnection around it. And then we are so disempowered, we're easily manipulated and led astray, right? So yes, sex is a very spiritual experience. Actually, sex stands for sacred exchange of energy. And number one, if we're talking about like just physical anatomy and health and like understanding of it, we are so like the proper education is not out there. It's not available to everybody. You know, some states in the Deep South, they really don't even, you know, have sex education classes, you know, for kids or whatever.
We have abstinence education down here.
Right. Yeah.
I mean,
yeah, exactly.
I got basic sex ed in high school, I guess, but I honestly can't remember any of that. So yeah. It obviously didn't stick. It wasn't useful. I mean, I was somebody who was very curious, and I was like doing my own research and like as like, I don't know, probably like 12, 13, like really wanting to just know about sex, and like I was just very curious, and not in like a pornographic way, but I was just like very curious about people's like sex lives and I don't know, whatever. Yeah. So I like sought out my own information, but yeah, they just teach you abstinence down here. Like they just tell you not to fucking do it, which is the worst possible thing to tell a group of teenagers. Like that's just the opposite of what they need to hear.
No, exactly. And the humanity in general, when you tell us not to do something, we're like, but wait, why? What is it? What is it about that? And then we become more curious and obsessed with like, well, why is this so taboo? Why can't I do this? Why can't, you know? And so in the parenting aspect, talking about sex and the physical body and intimacy and the energetics of it all, the more you talk about it, the less taboo it is, right? Like there's no mystery to it because you're like, well, I've already told them everything, you know, they're not going to go searching and like the wrong sources. They're not going to, you know, be looking at porn and being like, oh, that's what's supposed to be happening. No, you, like you talk about it, you're open with it. You don't hide it because then that creates a sense of shame, which is internalized in the body. And that's what most of us carry is shame. When my daughters were like four, one of them, she used to walk around the house, like rubbing her nipples. And instead of like shaming her and be like, ew, don't play with yourself or what are you doing? I would be like, hey, like there's nothing wrong with what you're doing, but what you're doing needs to be in private. So I'm not going to tell you to stop. I'm just going to tell you that you need to go to your bedroom and close your door, you know? And so like, those are the things that I have been teaching my children since they were young. You know, not that their body is gross or off limits or don't do what feels good to you. No, that's fine. Mm-hmm. Do it. Just do it in private. Do it in a safe space.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think that's like, that's such a big deal. And that just doesn't happen. It's like, you know, I think kids are humans. Like, they are people just like us. Like, I think we put them in a separate category and like want to treat them like, yeah, like with kid gloves, literally. But they're just humans, and they have the same like energetics that adults do. It's just not, you know, it's not fully
developed.
Fully developed, exactly. And you have to, and I mean, I think that, like, I don't know. I don't know that my parents really talked to me about sex. They like, I don't know. I think I learned more from like my own whatever, but, and I guess I was fortunate to not like have anybody like, you know, trying to censor like what I was watching or what I was like reading or anything like that. Like, I do feel lucky I didn't get the religious programming, that kind of thing, but I've definitely thought about that. Like, if I have kids one day, like, how would I want to show up for them so that they don't like feel that shame, or they don't make the same kinds of like mistakes that I feel for like sure. I've made. I don't know. How old are your kids now?
My oldest is 13 and my middle is 11.
Wow. Okay. So like right there.
Yeah.
Right and there.
I have the 5-month old that you keep hearing in the background.
Oh no. And I was going to say, like, thank you for doing this. Like, I can hear your baby in the background, and I know that, I don't know. Thank you for taking time to do this. That's really cool of you. Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah. Thank you. Thank you for having me and being understanding.
Just
and
wanted to say, I mean,
as you know, we're sitting here talking about like, you know, treating kids like, with like little kid gloves and stuff like that. You know, one of the things that people don't understand in general is that we are eternal spirits having a human experience. And part of the human experience is to experience all of the things that are tangible, right? We feel emotions in our body. We know what it's like to, you know, look at a beautiful painting and be like, wow, that's just so amazing. We eat yummy food because it tastes good. We touch different fabrics because it feels good on the skin. The physical human experience is literally very tangible and physical, right? So what feels good in the body? Well, our sexual energy feels good in the body, right? And so instead of shaming that, just allowing it and just teaching, you know, the safe ways to experience that and like what that means. And, you know, the energetics of it, when we have sex, like, so for the woman, when we have sex with a man, we are taking on their emotions, their traumas, their ailments. Everything is literally an energetic transfer because they're penetrating us. And we can hold that energy for years in our sacral chakra. When a man has sex, because they're penetrating the woman, they get that energy exchange too, but it only lasts for about a month or a couple months, not nearly as long as it does for a woman. And you know, that's where a lot of like distortions and other things come from when we carelessly use that energy, because we're totally taking on somebody else's experience and internalizing it as our own.
Mm-hmm.
And I just like teaching people, like, you know, not just the human realm, but the spiritual realm of everything, right? So everything is interconnected. And for the longest time, we've been leaving the spiritual realm out of our teachings in general. So now bringing that in around sex, it's a whole other world, because people are just like, I had no fucking clue. Like, nobody told me that, or they made it sound bad or wrong or whatever it is. And it just creates more and more shame.
Yeah. What's like a, I mean, I kind of dabbled in a lot of different things. Like, what do you think is like the best, like, simple practice that somebody could either incorporate alone or like with their partner?
In which way?
Like, just to help, you know, cultivate the energy, you know, like, I mean, I don't know, like, my practice has always been like kind of creating sacred space and then kind of working with each other's energy. as well as like creating like a microcosmic orbit with each other. But like, what's something for somebody who's just kind of trying to find their way or get into this? Like, what's something they could do that could help their practice?
The first thing that I tell people is that communication, right? Like, we say communication is key and all that stuff, but we really miss the value of it. You know, when you can speak to your partner openly about your deepest desires without fear of judgment, that creates so much intimacy and openness and connection. Because if we're together, like, you're, let's say you're my partner, and you're like creating the sacred space and you're trying to move the energy, and inside I'm still afraid to tell you that I want you to tie me up to a fence and put a, you know, foxtail butt plug in my butt or something like that and call me a little bunny, yeah, right? Like, that's still creating separation and shame, and it's not, yeah, allowing the energy to flow freely.
Yeah, I get that. I like that.
I like that your answer was communication. I think that's like a really good point that kind of could easily be overlooked when you're talking about like energy and spirituality. Like, that's, I don't know, communication is a really big part of all of that, like being able to be fully yourself and open and honest with the people that you're intimate with, you know. Like, that's just like basic 101 shit that, you know, that's not the answer that I probably would have expected, but it's like, of course it's communication.
It also is like, you know, having the verbiage around it too. Like, people don't really know how to navigate that stuff in general anyway. So like, you know, being able to verbally express like, hey, this is one of my fantasies or desires, but I don't actually want to act on it. I really just want to share the fantasy with you, so you know that, like, you know, kind of get into this space with me. But please know that it's not something that I ever want to carry out, right? Like, that relieves a whole lot of pressure for both people, because then, you know, the partner's like hearing this wild, fantastical, like, experience, and they're like, how the hell am I going to do that? How am I going to pull this off?
I don't
like,
know if I'm down for that. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Like, and you can feel that person's energy and physical body just like contract, like, oh shit, this is too much. I shouldn't have asked. Like, why did I ask? when really you're like, okay, you know what? Like, this is something I want to act on. This is something I don't want to act on. But either way, sharing it, it creates like that open flow of intimacy.
Yeah, I think that's something that like the kink community, if you will, like does really well, is like the communication piece of it. And, it, you know, like everyone's kind of, like expressing what it is that they want, what their boundaries are, what, you know, consent is a big part of it. And just like honesty. And I don't know, I think that I think that's where a lot of people's like sex lives get kind of, you know, you might have a partner that you love very much, but like you're not having sex, and there's probably like just a lack of communication. And like the longer it goes on, the harder it is to like bring it up. It's like when you know, don't respond to a text for 2 days, like the longer you let it go, the harder it gets to like finally respond, you know?
Yeah.
I think everyone has had that experience. So.
Yeah.
But sure. But I think that happens with couples or whatever, intimate partners.
It does. And, you know, a lot of things that people don't understand is that we are erotic beings in general, right? So our life force energy, our kundalini, our eros energy, it's all referring to the same thing. You can have an erotic experience with somebody without it being a sexual experience. And I think that because of society and religion and programming, we've created this box of limitations of what sex is and what it should look like and how it should be expressed. And you're right, the kink community, the LGBTQ community, like they have had to start to navigate that energy in other ways that are non-sexual but still fulfilling. And I think that that's a piece that a lot of people are lacking too. you can have a super intimate and erotic experience with somebody. Like, let's say, like one of my, when I do dominatrix work, I don't touch genitals unless it's in a painful way, right? Because they're in, that's what they're into. But there is no point where they're touching my genitals and I'm touching their genitals and the point is an orgasm. Everything else that we are doing, yes, is erotic, but is not sexual.
Yeah, that's a very clear distinction. And I think it's like one of those things that, like, unless you have the, like you mentioned having the language for it, like unless you have the awareness and the knowledge and the words to explain like the difference, how, you know, there's no way to communicate it. There's no way to say, like, you know, actually I, you know, I'm more into like an erotic experience that's not sexual. Like that's more fulfilling, or that's something I need in my life that I'm not getting. Like if you don't know if you don't have the
words
to express it, how can you ever, you know, tell somebody what you need? And I think that's like, I feel like we may have talked about this a little bit when we talked to Sarah P. I think so. We talked about like just kind of the way that like it's almost like they hide the language and they hide the they hide it all from us, so we don't really know how to, like, we just don't see it. We don't see it getting talked about. It's not represented in, like, you know, our, you know, the things that we consume. I think it's definitely becoming more so. Like, I think we've seen a lot of like really I think we as a culture are getting more comfortable with sexuality. At least I hope so.
We are.
I think it's evolving, but I think for a long time it was just like a, you know, like that stuff's dirty, that's for perverts. Like, you're not gonna see it represented.
I remember was looking into like different stuff, and I don't know if you know Taylor Johnson, I think his name is. He's like a male sexual energy like teacher. He has like courses and stuff. But like part of the first part of the course was like to pleasure yourself without like releasing. And I remember like taking the class and I'm like, what the fuck is that? Like,
why would I do that?
That's the whole point. Like,
yeah, I hear that from so many men all the time when I tell them, and they're like, no, like, wait, what you're saying? Like, my balls already ache after I haven't come in however many, and you want me to hold it even longer? And yeah. I'm like, yeah, I know it sounds like counterintuitive, but really that's why this information is hidden from us. And, earlier this year, I did a series for couples, and I called it Sacred and Sexy. And it was, we went through everything from communication to negotiations to boundaries to what is your erotic blueprint? Because we, you know, just like love languages, we have erotic blueprints that, you know, set us up for liking different things. And, you know, and it's not just the sexual experience, it's eroticism as a whole. Right. But again, these are things that are not taught to us, are hidden from us. And so people like me, sex coaches, intimacy workers, sex workers, like they're doing such big work by owning who they are and stepping into their work and being like, let me teach you, let me show you, let me guide you, because as a society, we're failing.
Yeah. Yeah. Where was I going to go next? Oh, I wanted to talk to, we were talking about like, actually, I'd like to talk about like your sessions and kind of what you do with people, just to get it out there. Cause I had a session with you and I felt a lot of energy move. I felt a lot of clearing. And I was even talking to you before the podcast about how, you know, like I do shamanic work, which with heavier energies and stuff like that. And I always kind of have like self-maintenance and like my own hygiene, and it's like you moved a lot of energy that I feel like I guess I wasn't aware of, or I mean I might have felt some of the shame and stuff like that. I feel like that cleared out, but like I wasn't able to move it myself. And I kind of wanted to touch on like the aspect of being able to hold space for people and stuff like that. But if you want to like get into like what you do in a session.
Yeah, I think we do want to hear about the process. I think, yeah, sure. I had sort of same question.
Sure. So, you know, because it is energy work, you know, what I tell people, if they've ever had like a Reiki session or something like that, it's similar to that, but a lot more intense, okay? Because what I'm doing in a session, first off in the session, you know, we have like a quick consultation, talk about like where they are currently, what they've been working on. I specifically ask if there is any trauma around sex, right? And even and trauma comes in all forms, and we may not think that we've had trauma, but even just like the art teacher that told you that you were going to go blind if you, you know, jerked off, like that's traumatic. That is that.
Or what is it, like hairy palms? Like that's.
Yeah, hairy palms.
Yeah. Like those things are internalized in the body because the unconscious and subconscious mind don't know jokes, right? They can't tell a joke. So when you say something, the subconscious takes it as truth. Okay. So we do this consult. We touch on whether or not there's sexual trauma. Mm-hmm. And then I go through, you know, all of the ways that the body can release. So the body can release by yawning, burping, farting, sweating, crying, laughing, shaking, shivering, going pee, having a bowel movement, vomiting, being nauseous. I mean, just a whole array of things that will happen in the body. Okay. And I bring attention to the fact that all of those things are normal, they're acceptable, they're allowed. You may have some of them, you may have none of them. That's all okay. Whatever your body experiences is perfectly natural and allowed, right? Because a lot of times, as I'm moving that energy, I can feel people kind of contracting, like, oh no, I'm nauseous, like I'm late. They start fighting it. And then they're like so focused on that feeling that they're not allowing the energy to pass through them. Or, you know, it's sexual energy. So they feel arousal. And then they're like, wait, she's watching me as I'm physically feeling aroused. Like, that's not what this is supposed to be about. No, it is actually. It's about witnessing however the body reacts and being in a space of allowing it to react without shame or judgment.
That's really profound.
Honestly. Yeah.
I think like, I don't know, when Pete was telling me about having a session with you, I was like, I don't know if I could do that. Like, you know, like with a stranger, like, I don't know about that. That sounds really intense. And like, I don't have a lot of shame exactly, but I don't know how comfortable I am with like somebody I don't know. Like, I don't know. You know what I mean? Like, I think a lot of people would have that reaction. So like how, you know, what would you say to that? You know,
I would say that that's totally normal. And again, it's part of unearthing that, right? So even the fact that you have a reaction to just hearing about it is healing for you because that's bringing that shadow up to the light.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, after I go through the different ways the body may experience energy, I then start off by grounding, right? We go through a visualization meditation, grounding in to Mother Earth, grounding into the heavens, connecting into the heavens and grounding into Mother Earth. And then I do kind of like a mini Reiki, right? So I start with all of the chakras, stopping and making sure to give each one attention, give the person a chance to, you know, and I'm telling them like, okay, there's no blocks. We're removing anchors and chains and cords and attachments in each and every chakra. So it gives them a chance to clear some of that before I really start moving the energy through. Okay. So once we go through all of the chakras, then what I do is I connect into my Kundalini energy. And my energy is essentially a vehicle for my clients' Kundalini energy. It's like theirs gets kind of nestled into mine, and mine carries it through their entire being to start clearing things out. I channel light language while I do this. Every session is different. You know, it depends on what the person is experiencing. the blocks that they hold, what their guides want them to do or experience or whatever. So there is no, so far there hasn't been a session that's exactly like the other one. Everyone experiences it totally differently.
Wow. Yeah. That's so neat.
Mm-hmm. And it's cool because, you know, people are feeling major shifts while the energy is going through them, but then also they experience the shifts afterwards, you know, like days afterwards, they're still having things come up or still feeling the effects of the energy. And, you know, I tell people that every time we have a really intense or expansive experience, because our reality is based on duality, naturally, you have to come down. You have to go back into that other place. And so I warn them that, hey, you could be feeling low, emotional, maybe depressed, you know, just kind of shifting from a really, really high, coming back in, down into reality can feel really, really low, right? Mm-hmm. So I offer support during that so they're not going into these depths by themselves. That way they don't feel like I just came in here and unearthed a bunch of shit. And I'm like, okay, now you process that by yourself.
Have fun.
Yeah. See you later. Have fun with
the show. Yeah. Yeah, no, I think that, and I think people are kind of like scared of that too. Yeah. Just like it, I think what happens whenever you, yeah, are evolving or awakening at all, you're also bringing up a lot of old shit. Just like... Mm-hmm. Whatever. And that's there's like an equal and opposite reaction kind of a thing going on. And I think when that stuff starts to come up for people, it's like, whoa, I don't want to really go there. I'm not really looking to like get into my like childhood trauma, like whatever. I think right. You know, people don't want to look at it. And I think anybody can relate to that. But the trick is like to keep going and to like let it be, like let it move, because yes. it will like when you become aware of it, it does like tend to flow out much yeah. more quickly yeah. than if you're just holding it and you're like, why do I feel like so much shame in this situation, or why am I so fucking angry out of nowhere like why do I have yeah. anxiety with like in this situation? And it's like usually there's something going on that's like triggering something deeper that is, you know, subconscious. I was gonna ask something.
I wanted to answer Pete's question
about
it's okay, it's about how he's done so much work in clearing on himself, yet I was still able to tap into things that he didn't know. We have different views of the self, right? So when we are talking about self, there is the self that I know that you could probably see in me too, right? So you could probably see that I'm a open, kind of bubbly kind of person, whatever. There's things that I see about myself that other people don't see, right? Like I, you know, am actually a really good poet. Most people wouldn't know that about me, right? Then there's things that other people see about us that we don't see. Before my last major awakening, I mean, even years, like I started getting into astrology and stuff like this in like 2013, and people could see my spiritual abilities, but I was blind to it. I had no clue that I was who I was and that I had the power that I do. Absolutely blind to it. And then there's the fourth aspect of self. There's the aspect of self that is hidden from ourselves and from other people too. So when I'm moving this energy, I'm really going deep in the unconscious. And so I didn't know what I was going to bring up from Pete, and Pete didn't know what I was going to bring up from him, but we were still able to bring up these blocks and things that needed to be moved.
Yeah. I mean, do you think you get like a read on people, like when you're working with them, like you can, like, do you sense what it is that is blocking them in this, or what's going on in their unconscious mind?
No, not always.
Yeah. I was just curious if like, if it was something you're like able to identify, or if you're just able to like help them access it, you know, like.
Well, it's both. Mm-hmm. Like if I take the conscious moment to connect into their energy before the session, or like when they're talking about what they've been experiencing, my guides will start to show me things. But truly, like, once the energy is moving, we're really just, like, unearthing all kinds of shit. And that's where it becomes the unknown to both of us.
Mm-hmm. That's so interesting.
Yeah. Yeah, because it's, like, what's interesting to me is, like, my, like, I'm always doing, like, every day I do, like, breath work that kind of works that same channel that you worked through. And it felt like there was something that in that same area that I feel like I work on every day, and it just, like, unearthed, you know? Like, in our session, I kind of, I felt like kind of Ruby said, like, kind of uncomfortable to fully surrender in the beginning.
And I actually had to stop the session for a second. I was like, okay, what are you experiencing? Because for me, I was having such a hard time staying connected to you. Like, I can naturally put myself in a trance without medicine or music or movement or anything like that. Like, I can just slip into that place. And when I'm working, that's kind of the place I go to. And so I kept being very aware of what I was doing, and I wasn't connected. And I was like, okay, something's happening that you're not allowing me in. And so I had to stop and be like, hey, what's going on for you?
Yeah.
And it was, I mean, it manifested as, like, you know, like almost like suppressed sexual energy, or that's how it felt on my body. Like, I was holding it in. And then I kind of just said, you know, I want to do this. Like, I want to release this. I don't want it to, like, hold me back. And then after I, like, kind of fully committed to that, it just felt like this, like, it felt very, like, fluid, like, wavy energy kind of slowly, like, breaking barriers through my body. And then as it finally, like, kind of, it was, like, finally broke through, and it kind of, I felt the kind of go out my crown. And then, like, the best metaphor is almost like, it was like a river that was, like, running. And then, like, it felt like the river was, like, pulling muck as it went, and then, like, every wave that passed, it, like, pulled more and more muck until it, like, unearthed, like, a rock, it felt like. And then it just kind of cleared me out, and I did feel a lot of, like, arousal energy, I'm not gonna lie. But yeah, I don't know, it's powerful stuff. Like, I just know that energy is so powerful. And, you know, I want to kind of, like, learn more, you know, like, how to deepen that practice within myself, you know?
Yeah. And it, you know, it's interesting. Like, it's one of those things that we can totally work with. And, like, I can teach people how to connect into it. Even if you don't have the natural imprint, it's still, you're still able to work with it and do stuff with it. And I found myself a lot of times I have to remind people that, like, this is your power to have, to hold, and to protect, right? So there is literally no shame around it. It's yours. You do with it what you want. But there's so many more potentials with what we've been doing.
Yeah. I mean, like, it's easy to, like, I don't know, like, what's your best advice in terms of, like, I feel like that programming is so deep sometimes. It's like, even if you work through it, it's like, it still comes back. It still comes up. It's like, you know, it's like people with money. Like, everybody now knows money's pretty much fake. Like, it's not even real. But it's like, in the back of your head, you're like, people are still always worried about money. No matter how much work you do, no matter how much, like, self-worth you have, you know, it's like, it always, well, it feels like it cycles back through. Like, you get a lesson and you kind of learn it, but it's like, it kind of always, I don't know, for some, maybe it's just me, like, maybe I hold on to it for a reason, but I feel like, you know, like, you still, like, I feel like you released a lot of, like, things connected to, like, shame and sex for me. Mm-hmm. And I could feel a difference even within myself, like, in terms of, like, my own pleasure and, like, not, like, I think part of me feels, is attached to suffering. And, like, can feel shame if I'm like having too much pleasure. Like I gotta be like almost like I gotta be productive. Like this isn't productive to be like having sex for hours or, you know, like in the back of my head, that's like thoughts that go in my head. I'm just being honest.
Right.
And no, it's like, I used to always feel like shame connected to that. And I feel like you definitely moved a lot of that. Like I noticed like I didn't have that like quiet voice in my head, like, you know, the shame voice.
Mm-hmm.
But like, in a way, it's still there in some form.
Well, so we also, I mean, we have access to the collective shadows, right? And so collectively as humanity, you know, sex is so distorted and repressed and suppressed and all of the things. So even if the individual that I'm working with has done a lot of work on their own personal shame, there's still the collective consciousness there that's holding that frequency. Even in myself, even in all the work that I'm doing, like there's still some aspect of me that is tapped into that frequency from the collective. also, money and sex are connected because it comes from desire. And so a lot of religions are saying like desire is the root of all evil and stuff like that, when that's not actually the case. You know, so by putting people in these positions with me, and yes, you know, we're flowing arousal energy through your body, and you know, everybody experiences it on some level wherever they allow themselves to. A lot of it is still the collective shadow, right? And so being witnessed in your arousal, being allowed to just have that, being witnessed in your desire, it moves a lot of stuff. You know, I one of my recent clients, she is an amazing medicine woman, like combo, ayahuasca, iboga, all of that stuff. That's been her jam for like 20 something years. And so she's creating a money mystery school. She's not a billionaire yet. She's actually still quite living in, you know, along that poverty line because of the things that she's working through. And when I did this work with her and I connected into the energy, I immediately felt all of her shame. I actually had visions of her handcuffed to my bed with her hands above her. And she was shaking her head at me, no, saying, please stop, please stop. And I actually had to stop the session, check in with her and be like, hey, this is what I'm seeing from your higher self. Like, what's happening with you? And she said that she wasn't necessarily feeling it in her body. But as I started to talk about it, she completely broke down. She was like, mm-hmm. Oh my God, you're right. Like, I do still have that shame in there. And I was like, well, yeah. And so, you know, it's predicted that she's going to be, you know, billionaire, moving all this energy, doing all this money work and everything. But she still has shame around desiring that, around being witnessed in her desire. And I'm like, if you're going to do work on that level, you have to be willing to be seen, because it doesn't work. You can't be on such a grand scale and still not want to be seen. And so it takes it to like, one step further. Hold on. It takes it to one step further. It's not just being seen, but you're being seen in your desire. And desire feels like arousal, right? So that in itself, that's a big deal.
Yeah. Well, I mean, actually, I don't want to go off topic and go into this whole thing about hyper realities, but it like, to me, it's also the issue we have is like, you start to identify with certain things, like her role, like, because it's the same thing I was going to mention is like, she's a medicine woman. So there's an aspect of her who believes she's like this healer, which puts her in this group that I think in the back of her subconscious thinks like, oh, I shouldn't be a billionaire, mm-hmm. you know? Mm-hmm. So I think like that's another issue I think a lot of people face, especially with like the spiritual field, because I think a lot of people think like, oh, like, you know, Jesus wasn't a millionaire, you know, or like I'm using that example because it's easy.
There's
but,
some
like,
kind of like something noble about like poverty or not needing
Well, it's funny because any
material things, I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What's funny though is a lot of people, if you look into their past lives, they've taken oaths or vows of poverty or celibacy or different things that we actually have to go in and delete, disengage, and dismantle in order mm-hmm. for them to really clear out that contract and for it to no longer be relevant in the present.
Yeah. I mean, it's such a, that's why, like, the Matrix is such a layered trap that it's like, you know, think of any religious figure. They all kind of, you know, non-attachment, no desire, you know? So, like, how can you be in the Matrix, be spiritual, and then desire certain things? It's very hard to, like, kind of work through that.
It is.
Yeah, and they sound mutually exclusive. Sorry.
No, you're okay. It's interesting because it's like, you know, I know exactly what you're talking about, like riding in that middle path of neutrality and all of that stuff. But our desires is what co-creates our reality. So even though they're in this like awakened space and, you know, they don't need anything, they don't have attachments or whatever, I also don't think that they're fully living to the potential that they could be.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, no, like I think in my own spiritual journey, like I think the biggest realization I had is like, or the most significant was that like the more I love myself and accept myself fully in all aspects, the more my reality is at peace,
mm-hmm.
you know, and like you, all that judgment on yourself, as soon as you look at yourself and say like, this is who I am. Even like we were talking about before is like you accepting yourself in the field you're doing. It's like when you fully embrace that, it's like just talking to you, I could feel like your confidence and your like comfort to be in that pocket, regardless of what anyone around you thinks. Like you feel like so strong in your belief system, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that's like a hard, that's like the hardest lesson to learn because it's like society is saying what you should do or how you should be, how a family should look, how your house should, you know, whatever. And it's like, it's very hard to get to that point where you like understand, like you are who you are. You're here for a reason, or you're here to fulfill that blueprint. Like you said, like the blueprint, it's like, yeah. That's who you are, regardless, like even all the shit, like all the suffering, all the weirdness, all the strangeness, it's like, that's who you are. And the second yeah. you really accept that aspect, that's when like, I feel like your whole reality shifts because it's like you made peace with your own darkness. So yeah. then you don't really see dark. It's like, you don't really see darkness in other people because you realize that's just who they are. It's not darkness.
One of the most empowering things that people can do is to really sit down and get in touch with their truth, regardless of if anybody else accepts that truth, whether they disagree with it, whether they naysay it, whatever it is. When you firmly know your truth, you can navigate anything. And I say that because, you know, I mentioned my daughters are 11 and 13. I share custody with them in California. And they have begged me to settle down, to stop moving, to, you know, go to California, be close to them because their dad's never going to leave California. I'm missing out on all of these things. And then on one aspect, I'm like, damn, they're right. And I feel it. And I feel like I am missing out in some ways. And wow, like if I didn't follow this path, like I could be there for my daughter's dance or whatever it is. But knowing my truth and knowing my path and knowing what I'm here to do, also knowing I'm blueprinted for change. I have Uranus in my first house. I am going to be forever changing and I change at a rapid rate. But so knowing these things about myself is how I balance that, like the guilt and the shame I hold around just even being a mother and, you know, being away from my children and things like that. Because typically people would give in to that pressure and be like, yep, you're right. Like I need to just focus on being a mother. And I'm like, no, they chose me knowing who I am and the path that I would bring them on. And this is okay. And I have a higher purpose. I know what that purpose is. And I'm here to fulfill it regardless of what people say, because I am a, you know, a light bearer, a way shower. I'm a wayfinder. You know, what my path looks like doesn't exist yet because I'm creating it. And if I get lost in that, like, well, my path doesn't look like your path. And well, this isn't how society wants me to live. If I fall into that, I will never step into my power. But knowing my truth, I can say, okay, no, it doesn't matter what my outer reality looks like. This is what my inner truth is, and that's all that matters.
Yeah. I mean, that's why you are who you are, and that's why you're here.
Yeah. I really liked what you said about just like the purpose of our desire, and because I think like, I don't know if you know, if you read like Buddhist texts, or like if you're kind of into that sort of spiritual philosophy, I think you can kind of get trapped in this idea that you're not supposed to desire anything, or, you know, you're supposed to let go of your attachments to things. And, you know, by like letting go of attachments, you will no longer suffer. You won't have, you know, you'll be able to manifest more. But I think like, if you're more of like a black and white thinker, or you take things very literally, you can kind of get stuck in this idea that like you're not supposed to want things, but your desire serves a purpose. Your desire is the thing that like drives you. And like, I just think that's something we need to embrace more. Just like Pete was saying, like, we need to, you know, if you accept yourself and love yourself regardless of, you know, what your truth is, or what your what you think may be wrong with you, you know, like if you start to overcome that, you then can actually like start creating your reality and see shifts and attract the things that you do desire. But if you walk around pretending like you don't have any wants,
desire.
Like, yeah. That's like being in denial, you know, it's not it's kind of the opposite of what you really need to do.
Right. And if you look at the chakras, you know, each one of the chakras kind of have like a little mantra, right? You know, and the sacral is I desire. Like, we literally have a energy center in our body for desire. So why would we want to erase that from our experience?
Yeah. Well, we're coming up on an hour and a half. Do you have any more questions, Ruby, or do you?
I'm definitely. I probably do. I really am just trying to kind of take it all in, because I think this has actually been like a really interesting conversation. And yeah, hopefully we can talk to you again sometime, because like, I just think this is exactly the kind of conversation I want to, like, this is why we have this podcast. I think that like these are the kinds of things I want to bring to light. And I feel like I learned a lot today. I don't know. I probably have questions, but I need to sit with it.
Yeah. All right. Anne-Marie, is there anything you want to say? Anything you want to let people know?
You can plug whatever.
Yeah, plug.
I mean, honestly, just thank you for having me on here and helping me spread this work. It's one of those things that it can be hard to put into words sometimes. So somebody who's experienced it and experienced the effects of it, I mean, there's no better testimonial than that, honestly. And so thank you guys for sharing this with me. And I would love to come back and do another episode with you guys.
Cool.
Awesome. Thanks so much, Anne-Marie.
Yeah, find us at Spiritual Graffiti Pod on Instagram, Blue Collar Spiritualist on Instagram and TikTok, Ruby Marvel on Instagram, Ruby Marvel X on TikTok, and Anne-Marie is Goddess Centered LLC on Instagram. I'll tag her in the show notes or whatever. But awesome. I hope you guys enjoyed. Thank you for listening.
Thanks for listening.
Love you guys.
Bye.
Thank you guys. Bye.
Bye.